on to tonight's Citizens Climate Lobby Training Program. It's a weekly webinar program of CCLs that provides all of us with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is going to be focusing in on a workshop of engaging businesses from prospect to advocate. We're going to join some wonderful business climate leaders as they present an interactive workshop where you're going to learn how we target, research, make first contact with, and then actually execute meeting with businesses, both big and small. We'll actually tonight also be part of a role-playing experience and have that exercise to help demystify any chance you might have to meet with executives and share of the work that we're all passionate about that brings us together tonight. So let me tell you a little bit about our esteemed guests, and then I'll pass it to them to really run the show here. Our speakers tonight include Randy Salem, Director of Volunteer Outreach for Business Climate Leaders. Randy's responsible for recruiting, training, and deploying hundreds of BCL volunteers across dozens of industry sectors. And I know many on the line already know and appreciate all of Randy's amazing organizing. Since his days as an economics student at the University of Michigan, he's believed that pollution needs to be properly accounted for, a belief that has led him to work with CCL and BCL. With Randy tonight is the wonderful Adrienne Kimber. Adrienne is a solar PV engineer, formerly with First Solar and Sun Power, turned full-time mom in Truckee, California, who chose her career in solar energy because of her drive to make a positive difference in the world with what she does in her life. Thank you so much for joining us as well, Adrienne. And with Randy and Adrienne is the wonderful Bruce Hagen, BCL's director of the GO Team program. Bruce is a co-founder of Business Climate Leaders. He's responsible for directing the activities of our Grasstop Outreach, or GO teams. And these teams work to educate and mobilize local businesses and community leaders to lobby members of Congress in their district. Bruce, it's an honor to have you on the line tonight. And with that, I'm going to pass it to Adrienne, and we will get this show up and running.
All right. Thank you for that kind introduction. And we're going to start off with a quick peek at our agenda. And I'd just like you to keep one thing in mind, both as we review this and throughout the evening. The process that we're presenting here has a lot in common with the process that CCL uses with our elected leaders. And it's applicable to businesses of all sizes. So if you've had experience lobbying your members of Congress, a lot of this is going to feel familiar. We're going to run through tips on developing your team and talk about the importance of trusted messengers. Then we'll delve into making first contact and running an effective meeting. At that point, we'll move into the breakout rooms for the role play practice that Brett mentioned, and finally come back together for a debrief and Q&A at the end. So BCL has a steering committee that supports two different kinds of teams. There are national sector teams, which typically work with larger national companies, and local chapter GO teams, which tend to work to get smaller local businesses to engage with their members of Congress. Our national sector teams focus on engaging Fortune 1000 companies and the like. BCL has 13 of these sector teams. Some of them are just an example: agriculture, chemical, energy, retail, and consumer, but there are many others, and you can see a full list at the Business Climate Leaders website. The national sector teams often include a member of our advisory board and steering committee. We work both with companies and with trade groups, and we can leverage them kind of in either direction. Sometimes our BCL sector and GO teams work directly with the trade groups to help reach their members, and sometimes we use members to try to get an in with the trade groups so that we can have that relationship as well. And oftentimes the sector and chapter GO teams can work together. A recent example from our energy group involved a large wind company that's headquartered in Iowa City, and our local GO team made the first meetings with this company, and once they got traction with them, brought in members of our energy sector team to support discussion at the national level. When you're developing your, when you're trying to engage a business to take climate action, the first step really is developing your team. And there's lots of good content on how to do this at bclresources.org and also at CCL Community. But the main thing that we want you to know tonight is don't go it alone. And a close second would be stay in touch with your team through regular meetings. One benefit of a team is that there's a role for everyone. Introverts can do the back office and extroverts can run the Zooms, but there's definitely a role for everyone. And if you have regular meetings, it keeps the energy up and You have people to help guide you through next steps.
Okay, so there's really great content in CC University and in the bclresources.org websites on this. So touching on a few things. And again, the most important thing tonight is we wanted to allow half the meeting for the actual practice experience. So this will just give you a refresher or some highlights. You can always dive into that in more detail. Basically, we're looking for people who, as we go out to try to find new supporters and new advocates, because we now have a whole lot of those, and I'll talk briefly about how we get in touch with them, some of the ways we can get in touch with them and have them renew their engagement. But basically, are they accessible? Do we have a way to reach them to get a meeting? Are they liable or likely to support us? And three, are they impactful? So ALI, accessible, likely, and impactful. Those are the things that we can use to prioritize who we're going to talk to. Nice little formula. And then just so much of this is start small. If you've got friends, I started with my hairdresser and worked my way up, and you can become more comfortable with the process as you do that. But ultimately, every little bit helps, and you'll get better with each meeting. Here also, it's good to have a list. You can go into the Grasstops engagement tracker, or if you want to just maintain a simple Google Sheet list, there's a link to one in here. And that just basically helps you remember who you're going to talk to and what's the next important step that you're going to take with these contacts. So doing research, this is a back office task. A lot of times people say they don't want to do Grasstops outreach because they don't have any business experience. They feel a little bit intimidated by it. That's okay. If you want to just do the research, get their phone number, get their email address, find out where they went to college, all this sort of information is available in one form or another online. And when we have this, when your team has this, whether it's a big team or a little team, it helps you prioritize better. And once you do have a phone call or a Zoom call or a meeting, you're able to speak to the things that they're concerned about and help develop that trusted relationship that we seek. So a whole lot of examples here. Again, better to just go online in the CCL and BCL resources sites and get the details. And again, this is just some ways that you can get that first contact. I'd like to tell the story about how, speaking of SunPower, I don't know if you were there, Adrienne, but it took me a year and a half to get a meeting with someone at SunPower. And that was probably about a dozen efforts on the phone and an email and their web contact form. Finally, I got it through a connection through a Salt Lake City CCL member whose brother knew the sister of somebody who worked there. So the important thing with all of this is the three P's: patient, polite, and persistent. And we like to throw professional in there too. But the one we were talking about in Minneapolis, it took her probably over a year to finally get this meeting, but she got it and it went great. So
thanks, Bruce. So when you actually do get that meeting set up, then how do you actually prepare? So in terms of looking at developing an overall strategy, there's just a couple key things. So trying to kind of look at that business and what would be the best positioning for CCL and for the Energy Innovation Act, and kind of look at what is going to be the touch points that would be most effective with them. What are some questions that you want to ask, that you want to learn about their business or understand about their position on climate or position on carbon pricing or what other key legislation would be important for their business? So you want to be prepared with open-ended questions. And then you want to figure out, you know, upfront, what is it that you appreciate about that individual and the work he or she is doing and the company and the good things that they are doing. And then what do you want to leave them with as a point of action, a call to action? What is that ask? And then you'll structure this into an agenda. So like, as Adrienne mentioned, meeting with congressional leaders, we kind of look at this consciously in terms of what are the different roles. It may just be me meeting with a business person. So I would take on all these roles, but just kind of wanting to think about it, structure it so that there's actually going to be a lead, somebody who's typically is the person that set up the meeting or maybe an expert on that industry. again, appreciator, somebody that's going to say and talk, mention some appreciation and respect for what this individual and company are doing. As with everything in CCL, we're really respectful of time. So wanting to make sure that we're upfront about how much time they have and sticking with that. Again, what we're going to focus on as a deliverable, what we hope that they will do, what we're asking them to do, and then to take notes. So it's always good, and I always sometimes forget about it or I regret if I don't have that nice trail of what happened at the meeting.
Randy, if I could just add, yeah. The role of the constituent for these meetings is often somebody who is former employee, current employee, customer, shareholder, or just the person that initiated the meeting. So they have that role, and there's that affinity that you start with in the meeting that a constituent would have in a meeting with a member of Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously the more personal connection you have to that individual or company is a leg up, a great starting point. So in terms of thinking about and positioning, setting up the overall strategy, positioning BCL-CCL in the EIA, there's kind of three leverage points, I would say, with a company. So either these executives, of course, like us, have kids and grandkids and are concerned about things. So there's a moral imperative, hopefully, of this individual that they want to do something. They want to do good. They want to help deal with this issue that we're facing. Then there's the dollars and cents, the business case. How is climate change impacting their business? What opportunities will climate change create for them in terms of new products or new business opportunities? What is the impact of not doing anything? What is the cost going to be of extreme weather, disruptions in their supply chain, et cetera? And what would the impact be of carbon fee and dividend on their bottom line as best we can in terms of what rising fuel costs will mean to them, but also on the other side, what the dividend, what opportunities there may be in terms of bringing more customers to them. And then having a seat at the table, opening like, this is something that's going to happen. If you believe climate change is a big concern, then there is going to be some legislation. So you can either be on the sidelines waiting for things to happen, or you can actually be engaged in expressing your concerns, what you feel is best for your business. And that's an important piece to step into. So in terms of looking at some specific, kind of breaking down a few examples, if we're looking at a healthcare company or organization like Sutter Health here in California, what is the EIA going to do for them? Of course, in decreasing fossil fuel use, well, there'll be less pollution and thus less deaths and health incidences from that. Lower greenhouse gases, less warming will lead to less health issues as well, less extreme weather, less heat stroke, things like that. Of course, in a way, for a health business, this is taking customers away from them, but their real obligation, their oath is to really be around supporting our overall health, which is what we're working towards as well. It was a local brewer that you're talking about. What is it that really gets their attention? They want predictability in terms of their ingredients in wheat and barley. Clean water is the biggest factor, and they want to ensure that there's availability and also at the lowest cost to them. So what would the financial impact be for them of having a carbon tax? So we actually have some background research that shows that it would actually only be a cent per bottle in year one and a couple cents a bottle in year 10. That would be the impact. So a small cost, that of course that cost is going to be equal among all their competitors, and also a huge return. So a small cost per product, per bottle in this case, but a high return in terms of overall decrease in carbon emissions. And then finally, as I mentioned, the dividend would be big. Remy report shows that the food and beverage industry, as well as the healthcare, will be beneficiaries of having more people with consumable, with cash to spend. A solar installer, like Bruce was talking about, of course, the higher fossil fuel costs are, the greater the return and the faster the return on the investment from their customers will be. So very, of course, clear line development for their business. A ski resort is interesting that they're on the front line. They're already experiencing costs from climate change. Their insurance rates are going up very high here in California because of wildfires. they're having to already create more product. They're actually having to create snow every year. So they're already paying the cost. They're already paying the price. And this is an opportunity with federal legislation to spread that cost across the overall economy. And of course, bipartisan. We're looking for a bipartisan solution. Their customers, their skiers are of all shades and colors. So what do we ask for, Bruce?
Well, there's a whole range of things. And, you know, we used to ask just for an endorsement, an endorsement, and an endorsement. And it's expanded since then. Again, documentation online for these. Be flexible. Remember that the first meeting often doesn't result in anything. The larger the company, the more they stakeholders they have, the less likely you're going to get something right away. But you'd be surprised, sometimes they'll come back later. So I won't go into any of the details on this, but I did want to go on to the next slide. Several years ago in Florida, they got a whole bunch of business and community leaders to sign a letter to Carlos Curbelo. They followed up with a meeting, and it was the game changer that got him involved in all this stuff as one of our champions. So in our chapter, at least, and you're all welcome to take a look at this and try it out, we're going to create one of these sign-on statements that's customized for our members of Congress, their interests. And rather than asking for an endorsement of the bill, it's going to be a much more general statement. And it's also going to say why we're doing it when nothing's going to get past the president. And that's to get things set up for next year. It uses the Google form, so it's a very low overhead. They can read the letter and sign the letter in 5 minutes. And you can also, and especially we can go after existing endorsers. So we don't have to give them all the education about carbon fee and dividend. We can just say, thanks for your help in the past. We promise we get back to you when it got to be critical. It's critical now. We need to get your engagement. Here's all the ways you can do it, one of which is signing the letter. So check the link there on that. If you want details, feel free to contact me. Okay, so again, this is very familiar to those of you who have met with members of Congress. You don't follow it line by line, maybe flexible, but always introduce yourself briefly, see how much time you have, an appreciation, and this is where the research comes in, or if you have somebody who knows them and can heartfelt appreciate for something that they've done or their company has done. You introduce business climate leaders or citizens climate lobby, really more. And then you want to ask questions. You want to find out what their concerns are, what are they doing in the realm of sustainability and so on, and use that as the opportunity to discover or more clearly explore what their interests are. Ultimately, you'll want to tell them about the legislation and our strategy and then the ask. We've already talked about that. And wrapping up the meeting, usually you want to make sure you have at least a couple of minutes. You can say, okay, we promise to get you this, this, and this. And we'd really love to have a meeting with you after you've had a chance to look with that. This is a really common and useful and successful technique to say, can we get back to you in about a month? They'll get a chance to look at it. They'll get to see some more bad climate weather. And hopefully they'll be more motivated to actually take some steps. And then thank you, thank you, thank you. So Randy and I and another BCL steering committee member, Sarah, McGregor did a little sample meeting. We crunched it into 5 minutes long, and you'll see some of these things in action.
Hey, good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good, as best you can these days.
A lot of stuff going on. Randy and I are just delighted that you have time to meet with us today, so thank you. In fact, just to make sure, what's your time frame like?
I got about a half an hour.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Well, I got to say straight off, I'm one happy customer. Thank you for the solar panels. Your crew did an excellent job, and we're loving them. So thank
you. Great. I'll let them know.
Please do. Okay, so as you know, we're here to talk to you about Citizens Climate Lobby and the work that we do, the bipartisan work that we do. And we're, again, just really glad for your time today.
Did you get a chance to look at the information we sent along, Bruce?
I did. I just skimmed over it, though. I'd like a recap, if you could.
Oh, yeah, happy to. So as Sarah said, we're part of Citizens Climate Lobby. We're volunteers, and there's over 200,000 of us in the U.S. And we have local chapters in every congressional district. And as Sarah mentioned, we are working on bipartisan to raise bipartisan support for climate action. So we're meeting with every member of Congress 3 to 4 times a year. And we have been instrumental and are engaged in getting federal carbon pricing passed, specifically a bill that's now introduced in the House called the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. And the three tenets of that are putting a steadily rising price on fossil fuels at the source, taking all that money and giving it back equally to every US citizen on a monthly basis, and having a border carbon adjustment to make sure that US businesses are competitive. And also, I think even more importantly, or equally importantly, is to encourage other countries to enact similar policies. So we believe this overall framework is both, it will be good for your business and good for the economy as a whole. It's will grow jobs, it will lower pollution, which is great for our health, and it's great for the environment in that it will help get us on track to meet what scientists are telling us is essential in terms of lowering greenhouse gas emissions.
As a business person, Bruce, and the industry that you're in, the carbon-free industry, it's really important to understand that this is a market-based solution. Randy and I both know that you worked on some cap and trade policy. And so wondering if you
have in a nutshell, why do you like carbon fee and dividend better than cap and trade?
Well, most importantly, it's equitable and it's transparent. It's a simple solution. It's a market-based solution. Mm-hmm. And it works across the board.
Yeah. Gasoline as well as power plants, I understand.
Exactly.
All right. That sounds good. So I'm interested in my partner. I will talk to my partner about this. And if she goes along with it, then we'd like to be able to help you. What would that look like?
Well, you have a lot of options. You can talk to your employees. You can talk to your colleagues, especially since you're in the carbon-free industry. They're a significant voice as well. And you can meet with us, with your members of Congress to support this bill. And what would be really great is if you went ahead and considered signing an endorsement for the act. I believe we sent over a link to the carbon-free declaration. You should find it there somewhere.
Yeah.
To you again if you can't find it. But you know, having your support and others in your industry put your signature on to this declaration would be really important.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Do I get a commission on any referrals?
Absolutely. Of course.
That's the way it works. Well, boy, I really appreciate the time you're spending on this. I've really got to go now. If I have any more questions, should I get in touch with you or?
Please do. And we'll make sure to follow up with you as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And happy to meet again. Happy to meet with you and with your partners or employees or whatever we can do to support. We're here.
Yeah. Well, considering the dark skies that we've got out there, I really appreciate all the work that you folks have put into this over the years, and keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And we're looking forward to working with you too.
All right.
Take care. Bye bye.
All right. You guys ready to do it yourselves?
Yeah. Right.
Raise your hands. So we're going to go into breakout groups in just a moment here. I'm going to give you, I'm going to put in chat in just a moment, this different scenarios. There's 6 different scenarios for different types of businesses. And if you're in breakout group one, just do the first scenario. If you're in breakout room 2, do the second scenario, et cetera. You can kind of talk briefly about what roles you're going to have, do a little bit of planning and strategizing, and then jump into your, actually running a meeting. We'll try and give you 10 minutes to run the meeting, maybe a little bit shorter on the prep side, and we will have fun with this. All right. And then we'll all kind of circle back and get a chance to talk about it.
Yeah.
So of course, after you have a meeting, you want to do a little follow-up and of course, thanking them for their time and consideration of what we're doing. Get them whatever information you promised, whatever background. And of course, like this, after the meeting, you'll have a lot of thoughts about, oh, I should have said this, or this is good backup information. And then it's always good to stay in touch. We want to develop these long-term relationships. So as Harold talked about the business roundtable coming out yesterday in support of carbon pricing, when opportunities like that arise, we send these things along to companies we've talked to, even if we haven't talked to them in a while. Hey, just to give you an update in terms of what's going on. So some things to think about and follow up. And then in terms of what Bruce mentioned, bclresources.org has all this information, lots of background information on studies and research broken down by industry, as well as a step-by-step guide in terms of how to build a business advocacy team at your chapter. So join us on community, go to Business Climate Leaders and click the join button. So to hear about what we're all up to and ask questions, and thank you. So here's the our external website that we show to companies, businessclimateleaders.org, and then the resource site, which is really for us here within CCL to provide you with information, training, tools. And there's my email. With that, I'll thank you for being here.
Thank you, Randy and Bruce and Adrienne and Harold for being here tonight. It's an honor to have you. And we are so lucky to have your wisdom and facilitation really lead us through tonight's training.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.